Everyone, and thank you for taking time out of your lunch and your lives to be here with us today. We're going to start with roll call with Oksana. If you could please take roll.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Judge Kelly. So we will start with Judge Kelly.
Present.
Mr. Yamasaki, he notifies he's absent. Judge Fannin. Not present yet. Judge Sachs?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Cameron?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Fleming is absent. Mr. Landry is absent as well. Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Wonderful. So we're only missing, for now, Judge Fannin.
And do we, are we able to move forward even if she's not able to join us?
We do have 4 members out of 8.
And I don't know if the quorum requirements exist for us, the subcommittee versus the full committee.
I think we've had that conversation before, and I don't think it affects us. But if I do see Judge Fannin log in, then we'll make a note of that as we move through the meeting. As a reminder, the meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. And please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. If everybody's had a chance to review the minutes from the April 13 Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee meeting, I'd invite a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Ms. Cameron. Is there a second?
I'll second Neil Taniguchi.
Thank you. All right, moved and seconded, and we'll use the Judge Conklin procedure. Anybody oppose the motion to approve? Hearing nothing, the motion carries. Thank you. There were no written public comments received for the meeting, so this concludes the public comment portion of the meeting, and we'll move straight into item number 1 on your materials for the meeting today. A request for the Judicial Council's Seizure Office, an increase to the 23-24 IMF allocation in the amount of $150,000 to support additional judicial officer orientations required for newly appointed judges. And we have Ms. Karine Alvarado from the Center for Judicial Education and Research to present. Ms. Alvarado.
Hi, thank you. As you know, the Judicial Council has a rich array of education offerings, programs, and courses for new judges to help them get the skills and develop the abilities to do their jobs effectively and to serve the public in the best way that they can. That education is funded through the Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, and there are actual requirements for judges to complete education that are codified in the rules of court. New judges in particular are required to attend 3 different programs: the new judge orientation, an orientation course in the area of their primary assignment, and the judicial college. And CJER, the Center for Judicial Education, is charged with designing and delivering education for judges, including that education. We offer lots of programming, including those that I've mentioned, and plan very far in advance that programming. Typically, we offer a set number of new judge orientation courses each year and plan for a pretty stable number of new judge appointments that historically have been around 100 new judges every year. But the governor has been busy filling a lot of vacancies, which is happy news for the courts. It does mean that there is an increased demand for the education. There are more new judges than we had planned that need this education. And so our the allocation that we received as a standard part of the allocation for our IMF budget to fund judicial education is not going to be sufficient to meet the demand that's been created by all of these new judge appointments. So we are seeking an increase of $150,000 for this fiscal year in order to meet that demand. Thank you for considering your request.
Thank you, Ms. Alvarado, for that presentation. And the materials for the recommendation are on page 6. Any questions for Ms. Alvarado on the topic?
I do have a question.
Mr. Taniguchi.
I understand that the new judges that are being appointed now that are on the bench, but they're having to wait a while for their orientation and these courses. Do you have a sense of how much more quickly they would be able to get into these courses?
Yeah, so that's what we're part of what we're trying to do is add more courses. Which will allow folks to get in more quickly. So we've been working on that. Seeking this additional funding is part of that, and in anticipation of being receiving the allocation of this increase, we have planned additional sessions as early as this fall. We very much want to meet the need as soon as possible, particularly since the rule of court does have a finite time in which judges are expected to attend those courses from the date of their oath of office.
Any other questions, Mr. Taniguchi? No? For any of the other members present? No?
Yeah.
Okay. As I said, the recommendation is found on page 6 of 14 of the materials. If there are no other questions or discussions, I would invite perhaps a motion for the recommendation.
I'll move. Neil Taniguchi.
Thank you. There a second on the motion?
I'll second it, Judge Sachs.
Thank you, Judge Sachs. Okay, the motion's been moved and seconded. Thank you, Ms. Cameron. I saw you getting to your mute button there. Any further discussions on the topic now that the motion's been brought and seconded?
No? Judge Kellen, if I might just broadly just to say that the IMF is in a good place financially, and the information in the report speaks to that. For those who can recall days of real challenged IMF revenues, the good work of the state controller in auditing revenue distributions has brought in some fairly substantial one-time funds. But because of that, we believe that the actual annual flow is a little bit higher coming into the IMF. And so we're in good shape for the foreseeable future. And even with that said, if there would be challenges, we were able to secure budget bill language last year that carries on, that if there are IMF challenges, you have the opportunity to work with the Department of Finance on those funds. But we're in a good place right now.
Great. Thank you, Zlatko, for that information. Any other questions or discussions before we move to a vote? No? Okay. And I just received an email from Judge Fannin. She's unable to log in on the Blue Jeans app, so that's what's preventing her from joining us. I just wanted to make the members aware. All right, if there's no other questions, did I hear somebody? No? Okay. Once again, barring from Judge Conklin, are there any votes in opposition of the motion? Hearing none, then the motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Alvarado, for your work on that and the presentation of the materials. I appreciate that.
Ms. Kelly, there is a phone number to call in. I'll email her that so that if she wants to join via phone, that's capability we have.
That would be great. Thank you, Zlatko. All right, moving then to item number 2 on your materials, beginning on page 9 of the materials. This is a request for the Judicial Council IT's office to increase the 23-24 IMF allocation by approximately $721,000 to provide Madera Superior Court funding to continue efforts to digitize court records. And we have Heather Pettit from the Judicial Council Information Technology Division who will present on the item. Take it away, Ms. Pettit.
Thank you, and thank you, committee members. So this really is an approval for extension of funds that were provided to the Madera Superior Court with the 2019 Budget Act. We had received one-time funding for a digitization effort, and they entered into a contract with one of our master service agreement vendors who has since decided to terminate the agreement and contract and actually shut down business. And so they have kind of left Madera in a difficult situation to complete their project and program. And so what we would like to do is, this money was placed in IMF, which makes you guys the governing body, even though it was a BCP, which is fantastic opportunity for us. We are requesting that they be allowed to use that remaining amount of money, which is that $721,000. They have spent a little over $200,000 of that money as part of their project plan. The program has been wildly successful, way more than the expected digitization efforts that we had called out in the BCP we have been able to accomplish. And so we really want to give them the opportunity to continue to push forward with this, you know, the need to digitize their paper records and microfiche that is out there. So the request is for them to have this additional funding allocated to them for this year. It was part of the 2019 Budget Act, BCP, so that they can expend it. And that really is it in a nutshell. Are there any questions for me?
Heather, I have a question.
Thank you, Neil.
So is it new funding, or is there extension of their ability to spend the 2019 funding?
It is an ability to extend. It is not new funding. My understanding, because they have hit their kind of timelines with the vendor, that it would have to go be reverted back. And so because it's in IMF, it was positioned there, it gives us a little bit more flexibility than a standard general funding. So that's why we're able to come to you all and say, hey, can we extend the use of this funding so that they can continue their journey with digitization?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and Neil, if I might, we also engaged the Department of Finance as part of our full transparency effort. We talked to them about, you know, the outcomes of the BCP and the challenges there, and the team did a really nice job explaining it to them. Again, for us, you get BCP funding, we want to make sure that they understand it as they were approving that, what has happened with it. And if something is challenged, that we let them know. They appreciated the reach out and didn't express any concerns of us sort of re-upping this final path of funding for the court, which is important, clearly.
Thank you for that, Zlatko. Any further questions, Mr. Taniguchi?
Nope.
Any other questions for Ms. Pettit before we move on to the recommendation, which is found on page 10 of 14 of the materials? No other questions? Okay. Then perhaps somebody would consider a motion on the recommendation?
I'll move.
Thank you, Mr. Taniguchi.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Cameron. Motion's been moved and seconded to adopt the recommendation on page 10 of 14 of the materials. Any further discussion on the item before we take a vote? Giving a pause, hearing nothing. All right, are there any votes in opposition of the motion to adopt the recommendation? Hearing none, I'll determine the motion is passed unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Pettit. Good to see you. All right, and we are then on to our item 3 on the agenda, and it begins on page 13 of 14. And this is going to be presented by Laura Brown from the Judicial Council, CFCC. This is a request to increase for the 23-24 TCTF allocation for the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Program. Supporting grant allocations from existing fund reserves. Ms. Brown.
Thank you, Judge Kelly. Good afternoon, subcommittee members. My name is Laura Brown, and I'm a senior analyst with the Judicial Council Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. I am the lead staff to the Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Act Implementation Committee. And it's my pleasure to be here today to present the recommendation to increase the trial court trust fund allocation by $3.567 million to fund grants for Sergeant Shriver pilot projects to operate in fiscal year 23-24. And this recommendation is detailed in our report that was provided in the materials for this meeting. The Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Grant Program funds pilot projects that provide legal representation and improve court services to unrepresented low-income Californians, regardless of citizenship status, who are opposed by represented parties in civil matters involving critical issues affecting basic human needs. The civil case types allowed under the Shriver program are housing, domestic violence, and civil harassment restraining orders, elder abuse, guardianship of the person, probate conservatorship, and child custody. Pilot projects are led by qualified legal service providers in partnerships with their local superior courts. Selection of the pilot projects was performed by the Sargent Shriver Civil Council Act Implementation Committee in late March of 2023. And the committee recommended funding 14 projects for $15.832 million in fiscal year 23-24. This would utilize a trial court trust fund allocation of $12.265 million and an additional allocation of $3.567 million from the existing program reserves, which currently are approximately $20 million. The Sargent Shriver Civil Council Act provides that the reserves shall be used to administer the program, and the committee wants to ensure that the reserves are allocated to the pilot projects to perform this very important work. The work performed by Shriver pilot projects aligns with Goal 1 of the Strategic Plan for California's Judicial Branch, Access, Fairness, Diversity, and Inclusion. By increasing representation in court services for low-income persons, regardless of their immigration status, in diverse geographic areas of our state, these funds will expand equal access to the courts, court proceedings, and programs. Pilot projects also perform case assessments that consider other needs for representation, including language, disability access, and literacy issues. So I conclude my remarks by requesting that the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee approve the additional allocation of $3.567 million from the Shriver Program Reserves to fund qualified legal services providers and court partners for the administration of Shriver pilot projects.
Thank you, Ms. Brown, for that presentation. Any questions for Ms. Brown? And we also have Judge Fannin, who has joined by phone. She sent a notice that she is with us. Hearing no questions, the recommendation is found on page 14 of the materials. I would invite perhaps a motion for the recommendation to be adopted.
Judge Sachs will move.
Judge Sachs moves. Ms. Cameron, is that a second that I heard?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion and the second. Any further discussion on the topic? Any questions or discussion? Hearing nothing then. All right. Any votes in opposition to the motion to adopt the recommendation? Hearing none, I'll consider the motion unanimously approved. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Brown, for that presentation and the materials.
Thank you.
And that concludes the items on the agenda. And while we have the TCTF and IMF allocations as standing reoccurring items for the subcommittee every spring, there could be other items that occur that will require our attention throughout the year, as you see from today's meeting. And we will keep the members apprised as action items arise. Zlatko, any further comments for the meeting before we adjourn?
Well, I just got a message from Judge Fannin that she was voting to approve. I don't know if her audio is working. We do see her on the screen. Well, thank you for joining us, Judge Fannin. And I think always good to remind the committee, the importance of the work of the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. And I think when I first got here, there was an issue, a core issue of transparency within the spending of branch funds. And it used to be something that was just discussed at the trial court budget working group before it became the advisory committee. And so we said, let's open it up and create a committee that can go through things. So while this feels, like there's not a whole lot of controversy or issues, know that I think the work is critical as far as transparency and awareness, and that everybody knows the revenues, and we provide that information, and what are the expenditures. And so, again, while it may not be a controversial time because there are revenues available to fund the programs, this committee does really important work and really, I think, supports the transparency of branch funding and expenditures, not just within the branch, which is critical, but also publicly, as we have these meetings publicly, that information is on our website, and we're an open branch, and I think that always helps in budget advocacy, budget trust, and that we are good stewards of state funds. So just wanted to take a moment to remind the committee of that.
Well, and picking up on that, I want to take a moment to say thank you to those that prepared the materials. I think one of the reasons the meetings seem so fluid and without interruptions is because the materials are so thoroughly done and so well prepared ahead of time that the members have an opportunity to really review them and come to grips with any questions or issues that might be presented. And I think that that's just a testament to those that put the materials together and make sure that the members have them with enough time to be prepared to the level that you see the result is today. I think a meeting that went quite seamlessly, other than Judge Fannin's technical issues, but she's with us now. So I appreciate the work that's put into the preparation ahead of time. I think that's really the result of what you see here today for the meeting.
Great collaboration internally, for sure. Thank you for that.
Anything else from any of the members for the good of the order, as they say? No? Okay, well then I will bid you all good afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your lunch and the meeting will be adjourned. Thank you all again for your time and your efforts. I really appreciate your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're well.